Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Hi, listeners. I'd like to invite you to visit our website at organicgardenerpodcast.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter, download our ebook on organic gardening basics, and get started on building your very own organic oasis today. Hi, everyone. It's Thursday, October 1st, and I'm a little late posting this week, but I was just going to talk about the Aero Expo, an annual meeting that I went to this weekend. It was so amazing. Aero stands for Alternative Energy Resource Organization, but Aero Montana is so much more than that. Their tagline, linking people, sustainable agriculture, and energy solutions since 1974, says it best. So the amazing Robin Kelson from the Good Seed Company in Whitefish went with me. And since she is far braver than I am, she took me over Logan's Pass, which I've been dying to go over in Glacier National Park. And we even saw a bear and a mountain goat on our ride. So that was a great way to start off on Thursday. We stayed in Great Falls Thursday night. And so Friday morning, we got up and went to look at the falls, but we didn't really have time. So we just looked at, like, there's, I guess, several falls in Great Falls, which is where Lewis and Clark came. So there's, we saw a statue of them in Sacagawea and a bunch of birds. And then we headed out to Timeless Seeds, which is, their processing plant is down in a little town called Ulm, Montana, and it was about 20 minutes from Great Falls. And there we met an amazing man, David Oyen, who talked about lentils. Now, I don't know what you know about lentils. I certainly learned a lot more about lentils this weekend than I ever knew before. 2016 is actually going to be the United Nations Year of the Pulse Crops. And pulses are considered a grain that has, it's a crop that yields between 1 to 12 grains of seeds in variable size, shape, or color within a pod that is used for food or feed. But it's limited to crops that are harvested solely for dry grain. So like, green beans where you actually eat the bean would be considered more of a vegetable. So pulses are crops that you dry. They can contain like lentils, beans, peas, chickpeas, which are all critical parts of a diet. Especially they have lots of, it's a vital source for plant-based proteins and amino acids for people all around the globe. The United Nations recommends that people eat them as part of a healthy diet that will help address not just obesity, but other chronic diseases can help prevent or manage diabetes, coronary conditions, and cancer. And they're also an important plant-based protein for animals. And then the other great thing about legumes is that they have nitrogen-fixing properties, which can help increase soil fertility and have a positive impact on the environment. So if you go to my show notes, actually, this part of the thing is I've been working on the show notes, and it took me way longer than I thought to put pictures of this weekend. They had the expo at one of the most beautiful places in Montana I've ever been in. It's so weird because you're out in the plains and you're driving through fields and fields of golden, just basic kind of desolate area. And then all of a sudden you come into this little paradise valley with like a river and trees, and it was just absolutely gorgeous. The Aero Peak Lodge was amazing. It was kind of a challenge for me, but also just really nice to be. There was no cell phone service whatsoever, and there was very limited Wi-Fi. The only Wi-Fi was in the actual building. So I thought, here I am going to be surrounded by all these gardeners. I'm going to get to interview people right there. It's going to be great. I think I barely have my computer out probably for less than 45 minutes in 3 days, which for me is extremely unusual. And my cell phone even less. So there was a regular landline, so I was able to call home at times and talk to my husband, and people were able to connect with their families So that was kind of neat to just be where I was away from technology. So, but not totally away. Like I said, you know, I managed to log into Facebook here and there. It wasn't the strongest connection either. So I didn't do a lot there. So the first thing we did after we drove, after the farm tour, and we drove to the lodge and checked in was this woman, Claudia, who has a business called Claudia's Mesa down in Bozeman, taught us how to make lentil salad. And she has some unique spices. She used a cowgirl spice in the salad, and we all had it for dinner. We got to taste it. And I learned a bunch about the nutrition of lentils. Lentils actually, I think it said there was 13 grams of protein in a serving. 12 or 13 grams in a serve, in a single serving. So, you know, what a great nutritious food. And they were delicious. Her cowgirl spice was really neat. Then after that, we met the amazing Sarah Calhoun, gave the keynote speech. Her business is called Red Ants Pants. And if you've never heard of Red Ants Pants, there's a famous Montana writer called Ivan Doig, and he is, I guess, from White Sulphur Springs. So Sarah moved to White Sulphur Springs and started a business there. And White Sulphur Springs at the time had the worst employment in the United States, not just in the state of Montana, but they had the lowest employment in the United States. So she moves there to start her business, and she starts a business designing work clothes for women. So if you know anything about Carhartts, her clothes are kind of like Carhartts, but they're made, designed to fit a woman's body. And she's been very successful there. And one of the successful things she did to promote her business was she started this thing called the Red Ants Pants Festival. The original festival was designed to have workshops and different learning experiences for people to learn about kind of farming and agriculture. And I think she talked about maybe sheep shearing, and they had like kind of like a bull riding, you know, when they have like the barrel, like the Bronken bull in different places where you can pretend you're riding a bull. Well, they painted one like an ant. And so you could ride the giant red ant. And the festival, she said, although it started out with the workshops and just music at the end, kind of flipped around and became a big music festival where people come. She said they have 14,000 people this year. I think they raised over $16,000 for the Red Ants Pants Foundation. And the Red Ants Pants Foundation gives out grants that align with their mission. Last year, it looks like they gave out grants to help farms in Montana, school programs that support farm ag education, and women's leadership. And so I just thought, what a great idea to combine music, sustainable agriculture, and women's empowerment. And she was just had a great story. She had everybody laughing. The timing was perfect because we sat outside and it wasn't too hot. The sun came out towards the end. We all started to bake, but it was just, there was some cloud cover. I just can't describe the atmosphere. This whole place was just absolutely just, besides the landscaping, stunning. The people were so friendly. Everywhere you went, every time you stood in line, you had people to talk to. It was super fun. The food was delicious. You know, for me, when I go somewhere and a vegetarian main course is the option on opening night, I'm in the right place. But I met some meat eaters there, and there were certainly options that they were happy with. I didn't hear anybody complaining. After dinner, there was this thing they called the cake-off, which was just crazy. People got together as a table and would bid on these cakes and share the cakes. And I'm not 100% positive, but I want to say they said they raised almost $1,000 in donation to these dozen cakes that were made. And they were fancy-looking cakes. So I have to say, I don't think anybody actually bid on my huckleberry coffee cake that I donated, but that's probably just because they hadn't tasted it yet. So I think we all ate that the next morning or something. It was put out with breakfast. So then we went to bed, and that was great. There were tons of people camping. There were bunkhouses. There were cabins. It was totally affordable and just gorgeous. We slept with the door open. The air was so fresh. And I think we all just crashed because it had been such a great day. And other people got to go to other farm tours. We just happened to go to the one at Timeless Foods because we wanted to learn about the lentils, especially Well, I'll talk about it at the end. There's this book called Lentil Underground. And the place that we went to was one of the farms featured in the Lentil Underground book, I think. And so, and Robin was reading it at the time. So that's where we went. On Saturday morning, I woke up super early. I had signed up to help with the breakfast prep, so I was there even earlier. And there was somebody up with coffee made. Jim Barngrover from Cafe Mam had delicious organic fair trade and shade grown coffee for us to taste. And I just couldn't believe that somebody was up at 5 o'clock with four pots totally perked, ready to go, just delicious. And that was a real treat. And I got to visit with him. He's also part of the Timeless Seeds crew. So that was fun. Then while I was drinking my coffee, there was the Arrow's Energy Task Force meeting, and we discussed ways to promote Arrow energy projects, what projects members would like to focus on in the next year. We talked about the success of new director Jennifer Hill Hart's tour this summer and her blog and how she went to get not only word out about Arrow, but also to learn what is going on around the state, what things are working, what things people are interested in. They talked about the Abundant Montana website, which is a directory of farms and markets, et cetera, around the state where people can go if you're looking for a place to shop for locally grown food or products, or farmers can promote their wares. Go to the Abundant Montana website, and they're looking to update that. There's also a Repower Montana website, which documents energy projects that are going around the state. One of the most exciting ideas I liked was kind of like Sarah's Red Ants Pants Festival, but like more of a workshop, a rodeo type of thing that would teach people about Arrow, the different programs it supports. And I really liked the vision of the task force, which is to make alternative energy inevitable and get us all off of fossil fuels. Then after breakfast, I attended my very first workshop session, which was on the cottage foods bill. In Montana, it's Bill 478. A cottage food product means it's a food that is not potentially hazardous and processed or packaged in a cottage food operation, which means basically it's baked at home. It can't be in a commercial kitchen. You can't rent a commercial kitchen. That comes under a totally separate thing. So this is food that's made at home, like jams, jellies, dried fruit, dried mixes, baked goods, anything that's not potentially hazardous, which is defined by, I think it's the Department of Agriculture or Food and Health, FDA. I'm not sure which department, but I have a link to the bill on the website. But the big takeaways I took from that was that Mike can bake his bread and cookies in our home kitchen and sell them like other products, like our eggs, our honey. All you have to do is register with the state. There's a $40 fee. You provide the recipe, which includes the ingredients and the procedures for your baked goods. There's some very specific things that have to go on the label, like the fact that it's made in a homemade kitchen, where you live, and the ingredients listed by weight. You don't have to put the procedure on the label. That just goes to the department, and it's, you know, completely confidential. They're not going to give your grandma's great recipe away. And then the big thing is the sale needs to be face to face. They need to give you the money in person as you hand over the product. And I did ask if Mike does the baking and I'm at the sale, they just said to file jointly. Because, you know, if I'm at one market or if he's somewhere else or different places like that. So great news for people who want to sell their products. And the idea is to make it easier for people to start a business. Like if we were ever going to, you know, start a business down the line selling some of Mike's bread or his delicious cookies, you know, this would be a good way to test the waters. And then also, if you're not interested in growing a big business, if you're just like a grandma or a mom or somebody, dad, family, whatever, who wants to sell things at the farmer's market, and that's just all you're ever going to do, it's ways to allow you to do that easily. Or, like, you know, at like a crafts bazaar or a festival. So there's different permits, there's different categories. There was like a traveling mobile permit that was available. So I'm going to try to get this woman, Nancy, from the state, I think, to come on and talk a little bit more about it. I did ask about like my salad dressing, or Mike's always wanted to have pickles at a farmer's market if we finally get enough produce that we can sell it, something like that. And they said that those would be approved on a one-on-one basis, so you enter your recipe at the time and then wait for approval. Now, one thing they did talk about, kind of a catch, is when you pay the $40, you want to enter all your recipes at one time, because I guess when you enter a new recipe later on, it would be an additional $40. So try to be ready, be prepared to put all your recipes in the first time. But then if you do that, the $40 fee is all you have to pay and you're good for life. So, they're working on it. I think they did a great job. That was certainly one of the most interesting workshops I went to that applied to us. There were lots of millennials from the University of Montana's Environmental Studies graduate program. And they were just fun, doing exciting things. They were great to talk to. I love their energy. And if you've listened to my show, you know I love the millennials. I think they're changing the world. And these were some of the best ones. I'm going to try to have their teacher, Neva, on from UM2 to talk to us about her class in sustainable food. It was really hard to choose my next workshop to go to. There was one called Everyday Real Solutions, which talked about solutions you could implement right in your home for alternative energy, solar panels and wind and different things. But I ended up finding myself at the Food for School, Developing Regional Food Networks, Successes and New Directions. The first person who talked was this amazing teacher who I met Friday night, and already first person I asked, could you be on my show? And hopefully she'll come on. She's like changing the world in the way our schools teach agriculture and the way food is brought into her cafeteria. She's in this itty bitty little district, the Hinsdale School District, which is on the east side. And she managed to help them get real beef locally grown in Montana into their cafeteria. Helping the kids. She just built a solar greenhouse, a passive solar greenhouse on there, and a root cellar at their school. She's just teaching kids and sharing great ideas, really changing the way food is grown and distributed and fed to students in our schools. And so I really want to support her work. I hope she's going to, I'm sure she's just a great speaker and a fascinating woman. She has an amazing story. So I hope she'll come on one of these soon days. This woman, Shay Farmer, came and talked about Montana Crunch Time, October 26th. Mark your calendars. You can see it in the show notes. So if you're driving, certainly don't do it. But if you're not, and you can, October 26th at 2 p.m. is Crunch Time in Montana, part of Food Day and National Farm to School Food Month. So what you're encouraged to do is crunch into a local apple. October 26th, 2 p.m., Montana Crunch Time, a locally grown apple. Mike Dalton came on from Gardens from Garbage and encouraged everyone to go home on Monday right away and start repurposing food, because he feels we waste too much food and we have hungry kids and families in Montana, and it's just incredible. He was so inspiring, and he talked about how there's all sorts of different programs where you can collect food from either local restaurants or institutions, hospitals, school districts, different places. And he even, like, a big takeaway I took was that, I'm not sure if it wasn't Abigail, his partner in talking about this, said, but that even just like four servings of corn, if you just put four servings of corn in a freezer bag, that can feed a family. So they really encourage, and there's different rules and regulations. I know, I'm pretty sure Subway has a deal where it's just standardized for their company where they do not let people use their scraps, because I think I went in there and tried to get their scraps for my chickens once, and they said that there was like a regulation with the, so some places you might meet up some resistance, but they said, you know, just overcome that, talk to different places, talk to different people in your community. You'd be surprised at what you can collect and how, and they're working on, of course, how to make it easier to get that food to travel from the places that have excesses of food to places that didn't. Oh, and that was another thing Patty Ann Burster talked about, was the garbage, that they would analyze the garbage in the cafeteria. And she knew she'd had success when she went and the garbage can was full of only empty milk cartons one day. There was no actual food being composted or anything thrown in there. Bruce Smith from the Dawson County Extension Agent had some great stories. He's doing wonderful things in his community. If you want to reach out to him, he has some great knowledge about what extension agents can do in your area and different programs that he's created. There was this thing called the Ukulele University. They were super fun. This amazing musician, her name was Jewel, I think, taught these kids how to play the ukulele. And she travels with like a dozen ukuleles, a woman totally after my own heart. And they were fun. And they sang for us at the final dinner. Also, I have to go back. There was a second grade teacher. If you're a teacher, if you want to teach someone about lentils, you can click on the video on my show notes page. Nikki, who's in Ronan, is a second grade teacher, and she taught us all the cutest little song about growing lentils. It was so fun. That worked really good for your kids. So then Saturday afternoon, there were two more amazing speakers. One is Dr. Laura Langnick, who wrote a book called Resilient Agriculture, Cultivating Food Systems for a Changing Climate. This book is just so important. And my husband, Mike, and I have talked so much about everything in her book, or at least the reasons she went to. She does these interviews with 25 farmers around the United States. And so she had this woman, Dana Ruggiero, with her from the Climate Listening Project. And they were going around filming different farmers. She had interviewed these 25 farmers. So they were going to Bob Quinn, who was on my show, his farm the next day, and they were going to film him. But they showed us this little 4-minute clip, which if you go, you can check out the link on our show notes page and see the video that we saw when we were there. It's just an amazing little video. And her book talks about what we can do in this day and age to deal with climate risk. There's three things she talked about. Exposure. How is your community experiencing change? What things are happening in your community right now? You know, what weather patterns are you seeing? How is your growth, your food growing being affected? How is your life being affected by climate change? Then she talked about sensitivity. How is your community or farm actually being affected by these changes? So first, your exposure. How are you experiencing? Are you having floods? Are you having droughts? You know, what actually is happening? Is your, you know, frost day changing? You know, in Montana, certainly this year we had a thaw like in February, and you could practically plant things in the ground in March. I mean, unprecedented. June, we had numerous days over 100 degrees. Usually June's our rainy season. I mean, Montana is seeing it. Anybody can argue with me that you have changes, but in the last 10 years, we've had like 4 or 5 serious climate events. This is the big thing, as she talked about, pulling in connections. You know, there's severe events. Yes, there's always severe events. There's, you know, been a drought or, you know, the Dust Bowl or a different thing. But the difference that you can see right now is in the last 10 to 15 years, we're having way more of these severe events. This was like the super big takeaway I took from her speech and that her book's about, is that, you know, I just don't feel like we hear this in the news. You hear them talk about extreme climate change. You hear them talk about, but they're not connecting the dots, that the extreme changes in the weather are happening more and more and more frequently. And so she's talked about that. And then at the end of the book, she talks about our adaptive capacity. What can we do? How well is your community or your farm able to respond? What is your resilience? And so the book, Resilient Agriculture, how do we cultivate food systems for the changing climate? And so, you know, of course, what I always like is people who are offering solutions. So she's gone around and talked to these farmers and said, you know, what are you doing on your farm to meet these needs? And then Dana from the Climate Listening Project, she just has a really beautiful eye. You know, the way she produces this film and the pictures she takes, you know, will just really capture your heart. And then, so the two websites she talked about is globalchange.gov, where you can see the third national climate assessment, you know, which includes what effects have we experienced, what can you expect, how to adapt, and also the U.S. Climate Resilience Toolkit, how to go forward in the United States. North Dakota is experiencing the fastest change, and just so increasing intensity, frequency of extremes, you know, how to pull all that together. So what else did you say? From 1958 to 2012, the biggest increase in the top 1% of precipitation events. So precipitate, you know, big rain events, either too much rain or not enough rain. Like, you know, the big news has been California has been having the drought, but New Mexico has been experiencing that for like the last 15 years. So she talked about that. And David, Salmon on my show talked about that too, how New Mexico is dealing with it better because they've been dealing with it for longer. But 71%, I guess, of the huge problem has been in the Northeast. They're experiencing wetness. They have too much water coming down. So she just talked about some solutions that we can go through and how we need robust solutions. We can't just have ordinary solutions. We need really powerful, robust solutions. And so her resilience, our ability to respond and adapt, included diversity. You know, we have to have different, you know, different solutions are going to work in different places. So you need to get together with your community, you know, coming up with local, balanced, possible solutions within your community, you know, looking at your balanced capital, your assets, your natural resources, your human, your social, your financial assets. What can you do to make things work together, and also modularity, the critical systems that are within your community. I definitely recommend her book. I haven't read the whole thing yet. I have, Robin bought me a book, which was so sweet. And so I've kind of glanced at, as you can see, if I'm still doing my show notes, haven't had that much time to read it. But definitely a great read. Super interesting. So what can we do there? Then after that, we had a little break. And then Liz Carlisle, who wrote The Lentil Underground, gave the closing keynote. Liz Carlisle, she called it The Roots of Change, The Transition. You know, what factors are influencing farmers? How do we get them to adopt soil health practices? You know, she really asked the big question of, if farmers know and understand what the best practices, why aren't they applying them? And the big one she talked about is planting a nutrient-rich cover crop. She said that we know cover crops can make a huge difference in improving the soil. What are they afraid of? And she talked about the difference between, you know, their cash crops and when are they going to put it in? How are they going to make time to put this extra crop in there that's going to improve their soil? They're worried about, you know, if they're renting the farm or, excuse me, if they're leasing the farm or renting the farmland, what's the owner going to say? If they have the right tools, if the tools are expensive. She studied farms and reports and different information from farms in Iowa. And then she also spent the summer in Montana going around and talking to different Montana farmers and what they are doing to promote different things that are working in Montana. So her book, The Lentil Underground, and I've heard it's just a fascinating read. So I am excited to read that. I had ordered it from Interlibrary Loan. It was really hard for me not to buy a copy of it there. I'm, you know, such a book addict. But I just felt like I couldn't quite fit it in my budget right then. But Liz got a standing ovation. It was certainly well-deserved. She was passionate and just a delicious. I'm reading my show notes and thinking, after the speech, we enjoyed a delicious dinner. But she was just a passionate educator and wonderful speaker. So then we had, like I said, a delicious dinner. They have Montana grown beef plus lentil burgers, corn on the cob, roasted eggplant, squash, salad. It was just delicious. After that, they had a live auction and a silent auction. Somebody outbid me on my gift card to the good food store I was hoping to win. Also, there was some chicken, organic chicken food I liked. I mean, there was tons of stuff. I've never seen a silent auction with so many great things to bid on, just everything from artwork to vegetables to, you know, clothing, books, wine. I mean, there was just tons of stuff to bid on. Big silent auction, big live auction. And then there was a music from Missoula's local yokel band, kind of a bluegrassy band, super fun. I slept out in my tent that night, which was great to be in my tent under the stars, although the weather dropped down, so it was a little bit colder. On the last day, we had some regional, well, in the morning, there was the Ag Task Force, where we talked about some different solutions for agriculture. One woman was talking about this, a chicken plucker for backyard broilers. So people who, you know, lots of people in Montana grow their own backyard gardens. So this was an idea for more people to raise chickens, to eat their own healthy organic chickens. And she talked about there's a processor that you can rent, but I think the problem was it's housed in Great Falls. So what it does is it, what's it called? Scalds the chickens and then plucks them for you. Somehow there's a, it's like a machine that will help do it. Yeah, a scalder unit, a plucker scalder unit. And so they were talking about how to make it easier, how to remove the barriers from people in the butchering process. So Mike did assure me you don't actually boil the chicken. That's not how you kill it. You kill it first and then you boil it and it makes it easier to pull the feathers off. There was some talk at the thing that if you're only doing 20 chickens, it's almost easier to do them by hand if you learn a certain method. But if you were going to get together with a friend, because it does take a couple of people to work it out, you know, it'd be an easy way to process like 100 chickens in a weekend for maybe one or two families for the year. And so we were trying to figure out different solutions. Could, how to get this, you know, could we have a processor in each community or make them local, or at least, you know, one in each region, or, you know, and how to educate people about how to use them, just promoting more small chicken raising around the state. They also talked about a Montana climate assessment project, a Montana climate atlas, possibly some kind of revolving loan fund for different improvements and different projects going on. So if you're interested in the Ag Task Force, kind of like the Energy Task Force, you can go to Arrow's website and check that out. And then we had the final regional meetings. And so our region was considered the Glacier, the Glacier regional meeting, which actually went all the way. It was just total Western Montana. So it went all the way down to like the Idaho border and all the way up here. So people from, and we even had somebody from Browning in there, St. Ignatius, people from Whitefish, people from, Salish Kootenai College, the Ronan School District, Polson, Ronan, Lakeside, Missoula, different people. And so the three we came away from that we wanted to really focus on were a gray water, being able to use gray water in our gardens. Right now, I looked up the policy. You can only use gray water, which gray water is water that, you know, maybe comes out of your kitchen or out of your washing machine or out of your shower, anything that doesn't have you like human waste in it. You can use it on your lawn, you can use it on your flowers, but you can't use it on any kind of product that somebody's going to eat. So you couldn't use it like in an orchard, or you couldn't use it in your garden. So they wanted to talk about changing that policy, or what can we do about getting that kind of information out there, what to do to improve gray water use. The other one we talked about was net metering. If people want to put solar panels in, what we can do to, we were interested in net metering. And then also supporting communities' adaptability to climate change. How can we find out about how climate change is affecting our own communities and what we can do about it? There were lots of topics discussed, but those were the three we voted on at the end that we wanted to focus on. So that was basically, and then we drove home. The end of the conference. It was just fantastic. If you want to learn more about AEROMT, go to their website, AEROMT.org. AEROMT stands for Alternative Energy Resource Organization, but like I said, they have a lot to do with sustainable agriculture and linking people together. You know, one of the things I thought Jennifer talked a lot about is connecting the dots instead of all sorts of people doing, you know, 10 different people doing 10 different projects, how to get those 10 different people working together so we're cooperating instead of overlapping each other and just trying to make those connections. And so these guys have been around for a long time. I've had their license plates since 2010 and never knew who they were until Jennifer started her blog. Laura Behenna was on my show last spring. She kind of talked about it. I went and saw Jennifer's blog, fell in love with them. Then Jennifer came on, talked about the expo, and I was like, I'm in. So I hope you like this episode, and then hopefully I'll have some new and exciting guests. I met tons of people. I handed out lots of copies of my questions, and you know, I don't necessarily have business cards yet, but just papers to tell people. I talked to as many people as I possibly could and asked them to come on the show. So that's all for now. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to check out our website, organicgardenerpodcast.com. That's just organicgardenerpodcast.com. And you'll see the links to everything that we've talked about today in the show notes page and all the other episodes there. You can easily search for people by name. You can download our ebook on organic gardening basics and subscribe to our newsletter for updates and just different things that are going on. Thanks for listening, and remember to grow.